The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, this is Stephen Hines, author of Zombie Fabulous, Rebirth Defect, and Valedictorian USA. And you, my friends, are listening to the PBD cast with John Orlando. Soak it up, suckers.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PBD cast. I'm your host, John Orlando. Welcome to episode number 151. I hope you're all doing well out there. And before I talk a little bit about my guests that are going to appear on this episode, I'd like to throw it out there real quick that I'm super excited for tomorrow. I am recording and piecing together this episode on Wednesday, the 28th of March. And as you well know from the encore episode that just was published and produced last week, that tomorrow is the debut, the premiere of Chris Bourne's film Lady Wrestler. I am going to go down tomorrow and catch it, and I'm excited for it. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, well then, first of all, what's wrong with you? Go back in the catalog of the PVD cast and listen to episode number 150. That's right, it was a big episode, a monumental episode. I mean, I have done 150 episodes of this podcast. I'm very proud of that fact. But more importantly, go back and check it out. Chris Bourne sitting down talking to me about his film Lady Wrestler is phenomenal. I'm excited for it tomorrow. And I'm also excited for this episode of the PVD cast because my guests are Jamie Tuttle and Lamar Clemens. They're the guys behind a fantastic comic book called A Cowboy Named Slim. That's right. Transcendent Comics is their company, and they have put out this very gritty Western. It is not for the faint of heart, I will tell you that right now, but it certainly is a very interesting tale about a cowboy named Slim going back to those days out on the open range, out in the Wild West, where outlaws reigned supreme, and sometimes the law couldn't touch him, and a man had to do what a man had to do. So it's a fun conversation that we have. These guys are from Athens, Ohio. They joined me via Skype, and we sat down and talked about their comic. They have 7 issues out right now. They have a couple of digital versions that are free over at their website, transcendentcomics.com. That's TRANSCENDENTComics.com. And, you know, it was just a great conversation, so I hope you'll enjoy it. And with that being said, let's go ahead and not waste any more time. Let me take care of mentioning who our sponsor is for this episode, which you all know who it is. That's right. The fine folks at Audible is presenting this podcast today, and you can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/PVDcast. As you know, Audible has over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And for you, the listeners of the PVD cast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you an opportunity to check out their service. Since we're talking about cowboys, maybe you want to check out One Lucky Cowboy by Carolyn Brown, narrated by Brian Hutchinson. Hey, it's a little bit on the softer side. It's not as hardcore, not as edgy and gritty as what we're going to be talking about. But hey, man, maybe you need a change of pace when you're talking about cowboys. But nonetheless, it doesn't matter what you're into, Audible has a book for you. So to download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/PVDcast. Once again, that's audibletrial.com/PVDcast. Get your hands on a free audiobook. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'm joined by Jamie and Lamar, the guys behind A Cowboy Named Slim. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting down this afternoon with Jamie and Lamar from Transcendent Comics and the guys that are bringing you A Cowboy Named Slim. Guys, how are you doing this afternoon?
Doing really good. We're doing really good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I can't complain. So you've created this book, A Cowboy Named Slim. How about telling the listeners just maybe a brief summary of the book?
Yeah, sure. It's a Western book, which I know a lot of people always tell us that Westerns in comics is a hard sell, but, you know, hey, if it's good, it'll sell, you know. But I always say, you know, there's always a few Western movies coming out every year, and one of the biggest video games coming out this year is that new Red Dead game.
Right.
And that's a Western. So,
correct.
Hey, people like Westerns, man. If you put a good story, it doesn't matter what, genre it's in. People just have to, you know, get over their fears and jump on in and see what's up.
Gotcha.
It is a traditional Western story, too. We get a lot of people giving us feedback that they're just excited that it's a straightforward Western. There's no magic beans and laser pistols, or there's never going to be a flying
cowboys bolt. And aliens.
Yeah, it's just a straightforward story. I mean,
character-driven Western.
Yeah.
Are you guys fans of Westerns?
Oh, yeah, more of the classic style, a lot of Western films, you know. He goes back more, I think, to, like, the old Clint Eastwood style.
Oh, yeah.
And then I missed a lot of that stuff, but I saw a lot of the, you know, 80s and 90s Westerns, which, you know, like Young Guns and Tombstone, things like that.
Okay, okay.
But, yeah, you know, otherwise, I love almost all of them. And like I said, I seem to find a few every year that I enjoy.
Mm-hmm. I myself was fascinated just recently, about a year ago, when I caught The Wild Bunch for the first time, which is just epic and awesome and just, you know, way over the top. But I loved it. It was a great film, man. It was awesome.
Well, you know, the thing about the telling stories based in the Old West is it was the last kind of like time there were lawless lands in America where men could actually just leave society and tread their own path. So that actually just opens up a lot of territory in storytelling. Any kind of personalities to clash or,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then the West even has like a wide variety of environments that you can throw people in, you know. You're talking about anywhere from Washington down to, you know, wooded areas to, you know, desert areas, or, you know, climb up even in the mountains and get, you know, snowy and rugged, you know. So, you know, this is anywhere you can go with it, you know. You just don't have to be like, you know, shoot out at the OK Corral or draw to the death in the street or something like that, you know.
All right, well, let's talk about some of the characters. Obviously, your main protagonist is Slim. Tell the listeners a little bit about Slim, if you will.
Slim's, just speaking simply, he's a simple man, simple thought. He's good. He's a good-natured character. I think, you know, most people are going to be drawn to something positive, and he has that. Whereas I guess he has a conflict, you know. Depends on where the reader's at in the storyline, you know, thus far. But it is always a conflict for Slim to identify with who he really is, who he thinks he is, and constantly throughout the story, he's being pulled back and forth between these two directions of being maybe what's considered a good man, a good virtuous man, and other times he's like, you know, kind of bucking that and like, you know, I've been dealt a crappy hand in life, and you know, I'm going to go this route. But like I said, that's kind of the gist of it, I think, for Slim. It's just, like I said, it's a constant roller coaster for him, just trying to identify who he is. And of course, it's, you know, it takes place in the West, so what better way to explore some of those things than in shootouts and rough situations.
Gotcha. Well, let's talk about maybe one of the antagonists, and I hope I'm doing justice to his name. Is it Duchovny?
Duchovny.
Okay, Duchovny. So tell the listeners a little bit about this fellow, because he seems to be, from the few issues that I read, he seems to be quite a vicious individual.
Yeah, it's a little strange in this story, because I felt we were trying to establish Slim himself, and Duchovny does his nefarious deed, and then he disappears for a few issues. But when he comes back, we try to give a lot of background. I'm not sure how far you've gotten, and but I don't believe it's till like issue 7 that we do a whole issue dedicated to Duchovny's background and trying to expose a little bit on why he and Slim are such enemies. And not trying to give anything away, but you know, they like Jamie was saying, Slim's not Robin Hood, but he's I identify him, I suppose, more with like Paul Newman. But he's not necessarily like a killer, a psycho killer, you know. He he'll rob you, but he doesn't want to kill you, you know. But on the other, you know, he's a gunslinger in the Old West. He can handle his chops. But DeCovey, on the other hand, he is that kind of psycho killer. He'll just kill for fun. I think you want to get it from the first issue that DeCovey commits a murder in a town during a robbery, and the authorities in the town will take to it too kindly. In the end, it actually, like I said, I don't want to give anything too much away, but DeCovey sets Slim up for that murder, and people are trying to, you know, get him and kill him for that. Yes.
Yes.
DeCovey, yeah, he's just a slimy double crosser, and, you know,
yeah.
Slim's going to make him take, you know, take his medicine.
Well, Lamar, one thing that I heard you mention in another interview is that oftentimes you're not fond of having a love interest in a story. Especially since, and I get where you're coming from, especially if it's shoehorned in and it doesn't fit. But yeah. Why did you decide to put one in? And I think the love interest, you know, her name is Mary.
Well, you know, we had to have a woman in the story somewhere. You know, there are women in the world. And, you know, you got to put some in. And, you know, the first that was, you know, that is the first place we went to. Was to have, you know, some sort of love interest in there. But we're trying in future stories to evolve the characters of women in our story. In a future story we got coming up, not to give anything away, but we've come up with a very good scenario in which a woman is the hero, but at the same time she needs defended, which so it's an opportunity for Slim to still play the hero within the story. It just, yeah, like I said in the interview, maybe, yeah, it just feels like they try to wedge love in every time, and where we might tease you with it, I don't think it'll ever get too intense for you in a Slim comic. Yeah, but if anything, it'll just be another cause for pain in his life.
Yeah, because we're definitely not romantic writers or artists. That's not our forte. But yeah, I mean, it just comes to a point where we're in the story and realizing, you know, if you were reading this, you might take Slim and Nick's relationship another way. Or, you know, some of these other, you know, men, which I think of a more modern day example would be like, you know, gangs. Not that I'm an expert on anything gang related, but, you know, wanting to belong and the camaraderie, the brother, the family that comes from it. And that's what we were really trying to get at. But then we're realizing as we're going through, like, again, not being romantic in thought or nature. Like, oh, this kind of seems like, you know, this could be a different story. So we wanted to clarify, you know, this is where Slim's going, if that makes sense.
Makes sense. All right, you mentioned something real quick, Jamie, that you guys are not romantic writers nor romantic artists. So let me ask here, one of the things I did notice is that you got a real gritty type of feel to the artwork. And even, dare I say, maybe a little bit of a violent feel to it. Was that a conscious decision on your behalf there, Lamar, to go that route?
Well, I was just sort of writing what was, or drawing what was written in front of me there, so just depicting the story and going along. I suppose anything, if I was just trying to keep the action high when it would happen, because I felt like there were a lot of times where, like I say, there was a lot of character development, a lot of talking, so a lot of dull periods before the intense action. So when the action would present itself, maybe I did take the opportunity to get a little crazy with it, but I don't think it was anything worse than, you know, you could see in an, you know, mainstream comic, you know.
Yeah, sure.
You take a look at some Invincible books and
yeah, most
or any Walking Dead, you know. But yeah, I mean, I love those books, and I actually emulate those styles, but yeah.
I mean, I'm gonna say that's just highly influenced too from 80s action movies. I just grew up loving that stuff to 90s Punisher to over the top action, corny one liners. Just, I like big action, and I was always drawn to that. And, you know, it's not necessarily everybody's cup of tea, but there's definitely a group of us out there that obviously eat that up.
Yeah, most definitely. And I think I totally agree with you guys on that, you know, the over-the-top action is what has influenced a lot of writers and creators and artists. And, you know, hey, again, as you mentioned, Jamie, it's not everybody's cup of tea, but I think it certainly adds something to the tale that you're trying to tell with Slim. Let's talk a little bit. Both of you write, but Lamar, you're just the artist. So what was your background in art?
Oh, well, yeah, actually my main influence has always been comic books from growing up.
Okay.
You know, then I wanted to actually become a better comic book artist. So I just originally I joined Ohio University to become a art teacher.
Okay.
But then decided, I don't think I really have the chops to be a teacher. So better just focused on the art. And I just focused and got my painting degree and tried to develop my styles and work as hard as I could to become a better comic book artist. I actually had to make the decision at one point. I was like, am I really going to try to do this, or am I going to try to, you know, maybe go back and be the art teacher? Decided to see what we can make with the comics. And I'm not even that, you know, like you say, everybody wants to make money, and, you know, God willing, that'd be the thing one day, to be able to, you know, do this for a living. But, you know, we'll be doing it no matter what, because, you know, that's the what makes it art about it is, you know, we love it and it's a passion. It's going to happen anyway. So,
so
as those that we were even talking earlier, there are a lot of slim stories we got to tell still. So,
all right. So how do you guys collaborate when you guys, you know, you just mentioned off air that today's one of the days where you guys get together and you map out some things. So talk to me a little bit about the collaboration process. Like,
It seems to be different every time. Okay. Almost. We have a mutual friend who I decided to just focus on making comics, but, you know, it's really hard to find people to put the kind of effort and time that it takes to make something like that without getting paid for it. So I ended up doing it all by myself. And then this mutual friend of ours saw some of my stuff and told Jamie about what I was doing. And Jamie always had this, well, he's had various stories he wanted to tell, and he came down to where I was working and found me and told me what he wanted to do. And I said, well, hey, you know, let's put it together and see what happens. And when we started out, he just kind of gave me one of his stories, and he'd never thought about writing a comic before. He just wrote his stories. And so he gave me that, and then I sort of storyboarded it and started making something out of it. And then he came at me with this Slim story, which had always been his baby from way back when he was young. And he just gave me it was actually issue one. And then I storyboarded that and drew it up. And I was like, man, you know, that's what happens. You know, it originally just ended him riding off and burying Roscoe and, you know, have a nice day. And I'm like, where does he go from there, man? You know, so like we just developed all those other characters and let it roll from there. And it's been rolling ever since. But he, in this particular story arc of 9 issues, he would write the script and whatnot and give it to me. And then I would storyboard it, draw it up, give it back to him, and then he would plug in all the word balloons, and we would print it out, and, you know, there we go. But in the second Slim story arc, which we're doing right now and finishing up, I co-wrote it and kind of came up with the main plot line and stuff. So I just storyboard it, run over the story with him, draw it, print it out, give it to him, and he puts the word balloons in. I come up with, like, the big picture, and then he is putting in most of the dialogue and helping me flesh out the big picture when I'm having, you know, stumbling blocks and stuff. But I think in the next storyline, we're going to go back to him being more of the writer and giving me the script. I'll storyboard it, give it back to him, you know, that kind of thing.
And Jim,
just kind of play the roles that we need to tell the stories that we want to tell.
Yeah.
I mean, it may have started as my baby, as he put it, but, you know, like I said, through working together, you got to work, you know, tear down those walls and understand, like I said, yeah, this is ours now. And like I said, we both seem to be able to meet in the middle wherever we need to tell the stories that we want to tell.
And Jamie, were you always interested in writing? Like, I mean, I know that some writers have shared with me on this podcast that, you know, even as a little kid, they were, you know, in class writing down little stories and whatnot. So where did the inspiration come for you to start writing down these tales?
It's been a crazy ride that's been, you know, uncivilized, we'll say. I mean, I think I started out in maybe junior high is when I started to take to writing, and I was writing poetry, poems, in rhymes, more like raps, and I wouldn't call myself a rapper, but just playing with words, and then started writing these just brief short stories and observations, and then started telling stories, and, you know, I got some positive feedback here and there, but I've never, you know, I haven't accomplished anything, you know, worth, you know, mentioning now, but like I said, I've always enjoyed writing and telling stories. I think it's something I feel like came from family, just listening to, you know, members of my family, my brother, my dad, just the way they told stories is so important to us. And I don't know, it just gives an opportunity to, you know, tell stories. That's all it is. It's that simple. And it's just fun. It's just a play box. It's like being a kid again, getting out your plastic container of action figures and just directing, right? I mean, just playing this and that and controlling everything. I mean, what about that's not fun, you know?
Exactly. You guys have 6 digital issues that are available through your website, as well as 7 physical issues of the same ones. You know, they're just in a physical format. And you mentioned you're probably going to go to issue 9 with Slim?
Well, with this particular story arc, it culminates with 9, and then we're finishing up number 12 now. Well, we're starting number 12. We're finishing 11, which is continuation. It's a new story arc, ongoing story from the previous. You know, we're like Slim's an ongoing story. And so, yeah, it's the next story arc. And like I said, we've got the next one planned after that. We're, like I said, we're just going to keep going, self-publishing. We'll always have a few books around. Hopefully, yeah, on the website, we're going to try to get a new one going with the same name. But I want to, you know, we want to get more interactive with it and have, you know, like a nice comment section and get some more merch on there too. Maybe some hoodies and some Zippo hoodies and things like that.
So we're the marketers.
Yeah. Oh, that's I think that's definitely something that you have to consider when you're a self-publisher. You know, what would you say are some of the pros and cons of self-publishing?
Well, you answer only to yourself. That's really nice.
Yeah, true.
On the other hand, the money is very slim. So you have to, you know, make ends meet and just, you know, like I say, we both have day jobs. And then another big factor is if you're a married man, your spouse has to be relatively supportive of you spending money on your little enterprise.
Absolutely.
Like, you're making comic books? But we don't have that problem. They're both great, and they both support us to the end. So, you know, but it's not, you know, we're not making thousands of issues either. We make a few, and then it's almost made for demand right now. We have books sitting around just waiting for people to order them. But you know, we're not. I don't think people around Ohio know. We need to hit the convention scene more and they mail out some more issues and whatnot, and just try, you know, anything we can get eyeballs on the book.
Yeah, we've hit a couple of these conventions up already, and feel pretty positive about walking away from, you know, meeting new people, getting some more interest in the story. But that's something, you know, you're asking, you know, publishing ourselves. Well, then you got to become the expert on social media, political, this, getting in here, making these phone calls, making the internet work. You know, obviously, you can tell by the way I'm talking, I don't know what I'm talking about. So it's tough.
Hey, it sounded, you know, good to me. It sounded fine to me. Don't cut yourself short, Jamie.
But that is the trick. Like, just trying to find ways and people who are willing to help. And I think that we've been pretty fortunate having not just our spouses, but other people we know are just, you know, putting forth helping us and things we don't understand.
Gotcha. Hey, let's go back real quick to, I just, another question popped up in my head. We were talking about how many issues. You just mentioned you're wrapping up 11. You're going to start to 12. I'm going to throw out the hardest question probably for you. How many stories of Slim are there going to be?
Oh man, what were you saying earlier? Jeez. I think off the top of my head right now, after the one we're finishing, at least another 5 or 6, and then that doesn't even culminate into the final end, you know, which to me is the death of Slim. But he's going to be, you know, an old man by then, I would think. But yeah. We'll see. But, you know, like I say, we're trying to do a Transcendent Comics, and there's other stories we have that we want to tell too. It's just a matter of me being the only artist on hand right now. And I can only do so much while I work a job and, you know, raise a family too.
What are some of those other projects? Are they different genres? Are they different ideas?
Oh yeah, we're definitely trying to branch out.
Okay.
We have a mythology and a sword and sorcery piece we were doing. We met a couple of artists that are supposed to be working on that for us, and I every time I see their work, I'm blown away, and I can't wait for that to get finished. And that particular story arc is the first of a 3-issue, but it's a part of a far broader world, almost, you know, I don't want to say Tolkien-esque, because everybody in fantasy is trying to avoid, you know, getting caught under that umbrella, but you know, it's like a world building big mythology thing that, you know, it's sort of like Slim. It's going to go on for a long time, hopefully. And then we also have another thing that's a little different from what we usually do. It's a comedy piece, which I think we're both kind of excited about. It's the idea is Earth is a prison planet, and then a single individual man has been grabbed by the Imperial Council, like the Galactic Council or whatever, that's like sentenced humanity to live on Earth until we get our act together, evolution wise, you know, learn how to live with other people in the universe. And so they bring up this one man to like sort of give us our evaluation for that time period, and all the comical ways in which he could interact with, you know, higher intelligence.
And I think, like, the idea is, like, you couldn't have picked a worse representative for the human race. Like, this is like an Appalachian stoner, you know, they find in the middle of the woods. They're like, yes, this is the guy we're going to bring up here. He's going to help me sell this case that the human race is not a waste of time, that there is work that can be done despite their consistent, constant history of killing each other. I mean, like, we even thought of the idea of, like, what would it mean to have, like, you know, Bigfoot or Sasquatch on a planet? Like, you know, the idea of them being another species, and the judge is ruling, is, like, sentenced to Earth. You know, they don't want to go to Earth. Like, no, no, oh, they're going to kill me because they don't know me. They don't understand me. The first thing they do with humans is grab their guns and hunt me. You know what I mean? That's the worst possible place to be sentenced to. Is the idea. It's just, yeah, like I said, a sci-fi comedy, like Omar was saying, like, we've got a lot of energy and passion there, but you got to find the right people to draw, to hit what you're trying to get at. And that is a tough process.
Yeah. And how has, you know, have you guys, you mentioned that you have a few other folks working on the books. How did you stumble across those folks? How did you find them?
Oh, they stumbled across us.
Oh, okay.
We had a booth at a Wizard World last year.
Okay.
And they just came up and started talking to us, and they had their portfolio with us. I was looking at it. I was like, man, this stuff is really good.
Mm-hmm.
And just told them we had our script for that first issue for that sword and sorcery piece. And we gave it to them, and they seemed to be blown away by it. And they were excited about working on it. And they too have day jobs and stuff. So, like, it's moving along, and we're waiting to hear more from them. But like I said, I'm super excited every time I see something from them. And one of the things about that book too, as far as I'm not 100%, because we haven't, like I said, they're busy working their current job right now. So I had a recent contact with them, but I think that book is going to be in full color.
Oh, okay.
Which rather like Slim is in black and white right now, but yeah, their color work, I think is amazing.
It
and,
is.
So yeah, I'm really, like I said, real excited to see that come through.
Speaking of that, was it a conscious decision to make Slim black and white, or was it just budgetary, so to speak, to do it that way? Or?
A little bit of both. It was budget and finance and time, because like I said, I was the only artist working mm-hmm. on it, so I would be like, well, you know, I could spend more time coloring this, or I could move on to the next issue if we could just get it done.
Right, yeah, yeah.
I think it was more of that, and, you know, sometimes I think black and white is... And not exactly a bad medium either. You can get away with a lot more expressionally with expression sometimes. And, you know, it's got its pros and cons, but, you know, it definitely makes the covers, which are in color, way more exciting.
Black and white, I think, does a great job setting the tone for a Western. That's not hard to believe. It's not one that's vivid and full of color and pop. It's more of a dusty, settled, dirt, deserted area, you know? I think it tones pretty well.
Forgotten memories.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I totally agree. I totally agree with you, Jamie, on that point. I think it does work definitely for that genre. So I'm going to kind of switch gears here for a moment, because you guys are down in Athens, correct?
Yeah, Athens, Ohio.
So what's the comic book scene like down there in southern Ohio?
Well, we're both pretty old, so we don't get into scenes too much. But in Athens, it's not too bad. They have their own... little comic con we have down here called Rathacon,
okay,
which is coming up here I think in May. Yeah, there's definitely a scene. It's just like everywhere, people are more I think into the electronic mediums nowadays, and it's just, you know, hard to get over that hurdle to get people to read anyway.
Yeah, well, I was just
in my comic shop, I know it doubles real hard as a gaming center.
Okay, that's what I was going for.
A lot
yeah.
of gamers intermixed with comic fans, but so it's just saying, you know, they go back and forth.
Yeah.
But I always thought with our book, it wouldn't be a bad idea just to leave them in, you know, like a doctor's offices or a barber shops and stuff. Any place people are just sitting around waiting to read. I was like, hey, this is a book that, you know, doesn't even just cater to the youth. It's anybody, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody likes Westerns.
Well, that's what I was curious about. I haven't been in Athens in a very long time. I wasn't sure how the comic book scene was in terms of, are there a lot of shops? Is there a community of creators down there that are, you know, working to put out great product? Or, you know, I wasn't sure.
Well, there's people who end up starting in Athens, but then they go to other places to continue their work. Usually, we both live here; our families are here, so we own property here, so we're not eager to go anywhere. But there is a comic shop in Athens itself. the Wizards Guild, I believe it's called. But a lot of people forget it because the main strip in Athens is Court Street, and it's on a street off of Court Street. So a lot of people end up walking past it, you know, but because they're heading to the next bar. Because it's down here, but, you know.
I wasn't even going
to read. Come on, guys.
I was going to say, I wasn't even going to mention that you live in a party town, but okay. You brought it up, Lamar.
That's one of the hurdles we've got to deal with.
Maybe you should stand out on Court Street on a Saturday night and just start handing out comics. Maybe. I don't
know. Yeah.
You know what, Lamar? I'm also going to mention one other thing. You mentioned in another interview that you were very happy with the one rejection letter that you got from a publisher. I just wanted to throw out that is a source of pride. I've talked to a lot of creators that thoroughly enjoy having those rejection letters because it kind of motivates them. So did that motivate you two guys?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It didn't put us off because, like I said before, whether we get money or not, we're going to keep doing this, and because it's an act of passion. That's why that's why it's art, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I always, like, one of my big things is what I would like to do, really, is I think, like I said before, there's always a few Western movies coming out every year. I think this Slim would make an awesome, like, either movie or TV series. I've talked to Jamie before about we need to try to figure out how to write a screenplay and figure out how to shop that around. Because I think, yeah, it would just make a great extended series.
Westerns are making a decent comeback. I don't remember if it was Spike TV, don't quote me to anything, but is it now turning to Paramount? I think the channel's going to be called Paramount. My understanding was that they had a couple Western TV shows on slot coming out, too. I mean, so not just the movies, the games and stuff. I mean, Westerns are roller coasters. They're up and down, but it's part of American folklore, so I think it's always going to be there. If you tell a good story, then people will read it.
Yeah, and
The Last American Frontier.
Yeah, I think, what was the one that USA just put out? USA Network had one. Was it called...
Was that Hell on Wheels?
No, Damnation.
That's AMC.
It's AMC.
Yeah, Damnation. I think was the one that they just put out. Yeah. So I mean, you're absolutely right. Every once in a while, you'll get a great Western that comes out. You know, and I think it's one of those things that is so part of our culture and Americana that you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong with a Western. Let's talk real quick about your love of comics. You guys have mentioned it a little bit. What were some of your favorites to read as kids or as adults?
Yeah, those are two very different genres that I read as an adult. But, when I was younger, for me, it was mostly Marvel books. My uncle was a big comic fan, and I would see his books, and it just, you know, he would babysit me and stuff from time to time, and just got into it from there and became obsessed as I grew up and had a huge collection, which I actually still do. You know, it would be mostly Marvel books in general, X-Men in particular for me. And then in my adult life, I more prefer the independent market. Right now, I'm reading one of my favorite books is The Fix from Image.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I Hate Fairyland is big on my list. Rick and Morty. I never missed a Rick and Morty issue.
I'd say, if I go back to my childhood, I'd say it's probably Batman, and specifically Legends of the Dark Knight. I always got to give a shout-out to that run. That was the best freaking run ever. And maybe Punisher. I'd say, outside of those two, it was whatever I could get my hands on. So I didn't grow up with a lot of money, nor did we have a comic book shop nearby. So whatever I could get, and sometimes that was Superboy. Wouldn't call myself a Superboy fan, but I feel like I've read a decent amount. You know, but... like I said, Batman and Punisher definitely as a kid, but moving on to now, I'm a Hellboy fan. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, the McNulliverse. I absolutely love it all the way to BPRD, to any of the little stories that he does on the side. And, you know, I liked a lot of the, just like Lamar too, the independent stuff. Something top of my head right now would be Black Science I apologize if I mispronounce his name, but Rick Remender. I really love Black Science. That's been a great read.
You know, I noticed too, Jamie, you know, you mentioned Batman and the Punisher, and I'm a big fan of the Punisher as well, but both of those characters are very vengeance-oriented, and, it goes right into a little bit about, you know, what Slim's dealing with in his world and whatnot, so I see the connection there, man.
Most definitely.
All right, I'll put you guys on the spot. What do you say is the best Western ever?
For me, I don't know. I just watched it the other day. I got to go with the Tombstone off the top of my head, but that's just me. Today. Yeah.
If I have to pick one movie, it's going to probably be Unforgiven. I know it's hard to go against Eastwood movies. Well, I guess that is an Eastwood movie, but spaghetti Western, we'll say. Unforgiven. I love the delivery. I love the flatline pace of, come on, shoot him already. To, you know what I mean? Finally getting that at the end. You finally get that release. That roller coaster of a ride of a Western for me is, that's, you can take my money for that movie.
There you go. All right. I'm going with the Wild Bunch. I mentioned earlier, but I'm going with that one. That to me was a great one. Well, as we're starting to wrap up here, do you guys have any upcoming appearances?
I believe we haven't really looked into it too much up until at least August. We have a show
okay. That
we've talked about, and where is that at?
It's going to be in Salina, Ohio. They're doing a lake show. I don't know. You know how that is. They can't call themselves a con, so lake show fan festival of sorts. You can find them on Facebook. It's located in Salina, Ohio. It sounds like this is the first year that they've put anything out, but it's actually where I'm from, so hoping to get some support from, you know, people I went to school with and family, maybe link up with some artists, but also just put the book out there.
You know, I know we need to do more cons and whatnot, but I just hate traveling, and so I just hate the road. I need to get over it and do it more, but that's always usually what holds me back. They'll be like, do you want to do this? And I'm like, ah, man. That's like 3 hours away, man.
We'll be in Columbus again soon.
Yeah.
We've done a couple of shows there already in the past year.
Yeah.
So that'll definitely be.
I always think, too, is like, well, I could do that, but I should be at home trying to draw this next issue, too.
It's a balancing act. It's a balancing act, you know? Because
I love doing the art and all that. It's the business side that twists my arm around. But, you know, you gotta do it, too.
Yeah, most definitely.
I just always feel like I don't know what I'm doing, but, you know. That everybody gets down on that.
You know what? Yeah, but if you, I guess sometimes you can bullshit your way through that.
There you go.
We're proof. All right. So you guys have a website, transcendentcomics.com. Do you guys have any social media that you want to throw out there where folks can follow you guys?
No, neither one of us really have. I think Slim himself has a Facebook page, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But we're going to do people even use Facebook anymore? I feel like we are literally like old men out of touch.
Oh, well, I've never been one for, you know.
Funny that you mentioned that, Jamie. I had a conversation yesterday with another creator, and he is absolutely frustrated by his Facebook presence, and I totally understand, because it seems like nowadays Facebook has become, this is my rant for the podcast, is becoming so like complicated to use because they want to make money, and it just seems like I don't know, it's getting to be a real dog and pony show, if you will, to be on Facebook. I've always done much better with Twitter. Well, that's just me. So,
yeah, but, you're onto something.
Yeah, but so where might folks be able to get in touch with you? Say they want to pick up an issue, or they have some questions for you, or heck, if somebody's out there listening and wants to help you guys out with some of your projects, do you got any contact info? Maybe you want to give out.
Well, I pretty much just have the website Transcendent Comics, which I think you can get. We have people who actually maintain that for us, and I think you can get a hold of us somehow on there. I think the website itself has a email address, but my own email address would be lcemons24@yahoo.com, and as I'm always looking for new artists, that is the main thing we were trying to find right now. But
and a lot of our I've had a lot of contact from people, actually, believe it or not, through Facebook messaging. You can look up a cowboy called Slim or Transcendent Comics and get on there on Facebook and message us. And that's, like I said, a couple of the fans have gotten old, wanted copies. That seemed to work out pretty seamlessly.
Well, there you go. There you go. So any other closing words here, guys, before we start wrapping things up?
Well, I guess real quick, I'll shoot at the stars. And like I was saying before, my fantasy is to see this on either the big screen or the little screen one day. Anybody who's read the book and seen the art, not that it's the greatest or anything, but
it's pretty good.
My pick for Slim would be Adam Driver, the Kylo Ren from I just think he looks like him. And he's a big name now. And he seems like he might be a guy that likes Western, so hey, you know, I need to get a screenplay in his hands and maybe he can help this thing happen.
You know what though? I think then you have to write one particular part, of the script where he's shirtless, because I think he's contractually obligated to be shirtless in everything he does.
Hey, that's no problem, man. I think we can definitely work that out.
You work.
We'll put it together.
All right.
I think I'll just settle if I can just pull a Stan Lee and make an appearance on there, because there's got to be a place for a fat, bald guy somewhere in the story.
All right. Well, guys, thanks for coming on the PVDcast. Really appreciate it. And guys, if you get a chance, you're listening at home, you need to check these guys out. Go to transcendentcomics.com. Jamie, Lamar, thanks for coming on, man.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having us, man.
You're quite welcome. I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up this episode. There you go, folks. My conversation with Lamar and Jamie, the guys behind A Cowboy Named Slim. Again, if you want to get information about those guys, all you got to do is go over to transcendentcomics.com. And actually, I just put a link in the links section of pvdcast.com, so you don't have to worry about how do you spell transcendent, etc., etc. It's all right there. Just go over, simply click, and there you go. It'll take you right to their website. With that being said, let's talk about where you can get this great podcast. That's right. As you know, it's available at the aforementioned website, pvdcast.com, but it's also available through iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, SoundCloud, Pod Paradise, and the Echo Network. And if you want to interact with me and let me know what you think about this episode, there's a couple different ways you can do that. You can shoot me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can find me on Twitter @PVDMVP, and you can, of course, leave me a message at the Facebook page of the PVDcast, and that, of course, being facebook.com/PVDcast. But if you will, whenever you check out an episode, you got to do me a favor. You got to review it. You got to subscribe. You got to tell a friend. You got to rate it. Whatever you can do to get the word out about this podcast, please do. I really, really would appreciate it. Things are rolling right along, and I want to keep it that way. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. So I will chat at each and every one of you later. And until then, stay righteous and stay independent.